This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. At the moment, it is 9 degrees in Wairika, 19 degrees in Medford, and 6 below in Klamath Falls. Temperatures in the freezing mark and below were the rule around the region last night, not the exception. All of us have to take precautions when the weather turns this cold. Easily said and done when we have roofs over our heads. Try to imagine life on these cold nights for people who do not have permanent shelter to retreat to. An array of services are made available to homeless people on cold nights in a number of communities. We invite you to chime in and discuss services in your community. Our guests are Heidi Parker, who is the volunteer shelter coordinator in Ashland. Welcome to you, Heidi.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Sharon Harris is one of the volunteers. She volunteers at the shelter on Tuesday nights, is it, Sharon?
That's correct.
Okay. And then we also have with us from Eugene, William Wise, who's the director of the First Place Family Center for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Hi, William. Good to have you back on the Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Why don't we start with you, because it seems like there's a longer history of shelters for the cold in Eugene. Can you give us a bit of a backdrop there?
Sure. I'm director of a day center, primarily. First Place Family Center has been around for 27 years and open every day of the year, but not open in the evenings. For that whole 27 years, we've had something called the Interfaith Night Shelter Program, where Temple Beth Israel and 30-some churches take turns putting up to 10 families, up to 40 people during the school year, giving them a whole range of services and a place to be. More recently, Colonel Thomas Egan froze to death in the streets of Eugene in 2008, and that really mobilized a lot of folks. And so, again, a number of faith communities and community volunteers have come together to open the Egan Warming Centers. So any evening where they're predicting the weather below 30 degrees, these centers open up for folks to be in. Right now, I think we have like 7 locations and over 400 people taking shelter in that this latest season, these last few days. And then the county stepped forward with some state money and opened 2 other emergency dusk to dawn, they call them, services. And so I'm overseeing one for families with children, and that has a capacity of 7 families. Not much, but it makes a big difference to the 7 families. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that in cooperation with Eugene Mission, which has the building that we're using for that shelter. And then being on the creative side, St. Vinny's has set up 3 MASH tents, MASH-type tents over by the service station, which is a place for singles, homeless mm-hmm. singles. And I think they've got 65 people enrolled in that right now, with another 70-some on a waiting list to get in. So that doesn't cover at all that's needed, but it's what we've got going right at the moment.
And so that's the situation in Eugene. We said 400 people in the Egan Warming Centers. Is that just the recent count, or is that
That's a recent count. That's an undercount. It's at least 400.
Okay. So 400 or above, certainly. Let's talk about what's available in Ashland. Heidi Parker, give us some background about how Ashland got into the cold weather shelter business.
Okay. In January of 2007, there were 2 very kind Ashland citizens who, on their own, their names are Ruth Coulthard and Barbie Brenizer. They began offering emergency-only winter shelters at the Presbyterian Church. In the winter of 2009, they began hosting regular Sunday night shelters in addition to the emergency shelters, and they operated from December to February. And then in 2012, when I was on the Ashland Homelessness Task Force, we were tasked by the city of Ashland to come up with some better solutions for the homeless in Ashland. When we interviewed those 2 women and asked what kind of help they needed, they said it would be really helpful if we had more nights of winter shelter. So a group of volunteers, very loosely connected and just with good intentions, started offering more nights of shelter at Presbyterian Church. It eventually evolved over the years to be 4 nights of shelter. First, it was 3 nights of shelter. Then each year, we added another shelter night. And this year, on January 1st, we added a 5th night of shelter. We have partnerships that are formed with the city of Ashland offering Pioneer Hall for shelter, but we also have sponsors of each shelter night. So Monday night is Presbyterian Church. So the Presbyterian Church offers support. They offer food and hosts. I look for volunteers in the community. We have an online sign up, and people go to the online sign up and scroll down and sign up for the facility and the date that they're available. So we have volunteers that spend each night at the shelter. We have two volunteers each night, ideally a man and a woman, but not always possible. The city has requirements for the shelters that are in their buildings that the hosts have had background checks. The city pays for the background checks. And so in order to host at Pioneer Hall, you have to have undergone a background check. And we do some very rudimentary training. Each year we have a training session where we go over sort of the basic rules of the shelter and things to do and not to do. But even if you haven't been part of the training, you can still volunteer. So now we have Monday nights at Presbyterian, Tuesday nights are at Pioneer Hall, and the Tuesday nights are sponsored by Temple Emek Shalom and the Unitarian Universalists and the City of Ashland.
Mm-hmm. So let me get a sense, though. So it's five nights as of January 1st. Does that increase when the weather gets what is for the Rogue Valley super cold, below 20 like last night?
So the City of Ashland has an ordinance that when the weather temperature is 20 degrees or colder, the city manager will call an emergency shelter. And in the past, he then calls me, and I hustle around town and try to find enough volunteers to man the shelters. So, then I put up post signs all around town and call the emergency, the police and 211, mm-hmm. and say, we're having an emergency shelter tonight. The city just recently allocated funds to Options for Homeless Residents, ORA, to begin to offer emergency shelters. It's becoming a bigger and bigger job as we have more nights of shelter and more people in need of shelter.
Sharon Harris, give us an idea of what the volunteer training was like and what you do over the course of an evening at these shelters.
Yeah, well, Heidi did an excellent job this year providing training. We had some people who were with Jackson County Mental Health. We had Jackson County Public Health. And we had public safety give us basically resources that are available to shelter volunteers in the case of an emergency. And it was kind of a interesting training this year because, you know, you want to let your volunteers know there's potential situations that could arise, but you also don't want to scare them off so that they don't volunteer. But we've had very few incidents this year. We haven't had any last year. You know, we have with our population, you have some people who have mental health issues. You have some people who have substance abuse. And we also have some public health issues with that population because they're out in the elements and they could potentially have illnesses. So the training this year was fantastic. I think it was about 2 hours. It was very well attended at a Presbyterian church. A good core of volunteers showed up. You wanted to know about a typical night. It varies at each of the shelters, but we open the doors at 7:30 in the evening. We have some sort of sign-in process where the guests will actually agree to certain conditions and rules, and then I'm hearing music.
We have a couple seconds left.
But, yes.
Let's go ahead and pause there. So we'll come back and talk more. We're talking about Shelter from the Cold on chilly nights, both in Eugene and Ashland. And if you have details you'd like to share from your community, we'd like to hear from you as well. We're talking to Sharon Harris and Heidi Parker, involved with the Ashland Shelters, and William Wise, involved with sheltering people in Eugene. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and take phone calls and emails from you if you'd like to take part in a minute five. Mm-hmm. 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. I want to thank you for listening. I want to invite you to join the conversation. as we talk about sheltering homeless people from the cold on nights like last night, where it got down to, 6 degrees below zero in Klamath Falls as of just a couple of minutes ago here in the morning, in the mid-teens in the likes of Medford, Grants Pass, and Eugene. We are talking to people who run shelters for the homeless on cold winter nights in Eugene, and the person of William Wise, who's the director of the First Place Family Center for St. Vincent de Paul. Heidi Parker is the volunteer shelter coordinator in Ashland. Sharon Harris is one of the volunteers. You can join the conversation and share details about how people are sheltered from the cold in your community at 800-838-3760 over the phone, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Sharon, I want to complete the thought with you about a typical night in a shelter. You open the doors at 7:30, and then people have to sign some agreements.
Yeah, we have a list of rules about, you know, conduct, behavior, language, drug and alcohol use, all that kind of thing. And the guests sign that. We have really minimal sleeping pads and blankets at each of the locations for people who don't have their own gear. So we hand those out. We have a little bit more of a ragtag, an informal thing with food at Pioneer Hall. We're not allowed to cook at Pioneer Hall. It's one of the city buildings, but we have a lot of people who come and bring food for us to hand out. The Food Angels just recently started doing that. So there's usually some kind of food provided. We have some of the volunteer hosts will bring pizza or soup. And we have a woman from the Unitarian Church. I just have to mention her name, Mitzi, who's just wonderful. She comes in every single Tuesday evening, every Wednesday morning, every Thursday evening, and every Friday morning, and runs the kitchen. And she's very well liked by all the guests. So yeah, people come in. It's 7:30 at night, freezing cold temperatures, and these people they're tired, and they're cold, and they're hungry, and they are so incredibly grateful to have a place to be. And it's just a really wonderful thing. I everyone asks me about, like, how do you do that? It's so nice that you do that. You're wonderful. And I'm like, I get so much more out of being a host than I give, I feel. And every single time I've been there, I've had these guests do something wonderful for me. You know, that just, you know, these people, I've seen them with nothing, and they will give what little they have to other people. I had one fellow, we usually lock the doors at 10 o'clock at night. It's lights out, quiet.
And if you leave, you don't come back in, right?
Yeah, I say it's the opposite of the Hotel California. You can leave, but you can't come back. So they know they can leave, and some people often will get up in the middle of the night. They can't sleep, and they'll leave. We lock the door behind them because we're just trying to provide a safe, quiet place for people to sleep, and the coming and going is really disruptive to that. So it's for their safety. And
Heidi Parker, are any people being turned away, though, from the shelters in Ashland on the shelter nights?
Well, over the years, when we first started shelters, there were maybe 12 to 15 people per night. Now, this year, we're seeing between 35 and 50 a night. There are occupancy limits to Pioneer Hall. Mm-hmm. And some of the churches have larger facilities, so they don't have some of the same constraints that we have at Pioneer Hall. We have a limit of 43 from the fire marshal. But on emergency shelter nights, technically we're supposed to admit anyone. So,
did I hear you say that on emergency? I mean, is there a designated place on emergency shelter nights?
Yes, it's up to the city manager to choose the place. So often it's whatever facility the city owns that's not rented out.
Okay, so that if the city declares the emergency, identifies the space, but then you have to come up with the staffing for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Presbyterian Church has been very generous in offering their space when there are no city buildings available.
William Wise, I want to come back to you and Eugene, and if you can give us a sense of the turn away, if that is happening, and B, how much staff it takes. You're talking much larger city in Eugene than in Ashland.
Yes, and a much larger group of folks. Like we're saying, we distinguish between families with children and folks that don't have children with them. They're really different populations. Families with children, we do run background checks on the folks because we're looking to protect the kids. And on the singles, we don't do that. It's very low barriers as much as we can in both situations. My experience is that of the singles that are on the streets and in these shelters, at least a third of them have a chronic untreated mental illness. And this is something I'm very familiar with. I have a son who is 50 now, and he's been with us the last couple of years on his meds. But he spent most of his life since he's 19 on the streets. And so when I see somebody out there with a sign or whatever, I think that could have been my kid. that these are folks that are doing what they can to hold their lives together. And we want to sometimes blame them, say, oh, this is drugs or alcohol, but there's a lot of forces at work to keep people from being housed in our communities. And I really appreciate that the communities have stepped forward, Ashland, Eugene, Springfield, to create these shelters and make a place for people.
And it sounds like it's actually in some cases the opposite. I mean, it's not drugs and alcohol. It's the lack of medication that keeps some people out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. We don't have a good system for dealing with people with chronic mental illness unless they're part of a strong family that'll advocate for them. That's kind of the bottom line on that.
So about how many people more do you think could be served by the homeless apparatus in Eugene and are not getting services?
Well, in terms of the emergency shelters, we're not turning people away from the Egan shelters, mm-hmm. from the below 30-degree shelters, but right. the others, they have waiting lists. There's every year a homeless count done nationally in January, another one coming up soon. And so looking back to last January, they counted, and these are always strong undercounts. These are people that we can run into or contact or find during one night of the year in January. But there's still 1,451 men, women, and children counted last year. 934 without shelter, 405 were staying in emergency shelter that night. 224 people were homeless households with children. And 129 of those were sheltered. 95 families with children were out unsheltered. And this has happened again this last storm. We had a family with a couple of kids that all the shelters were full. There was no room for them. And they spent the night walking up and down the aisles of Walmart, which is open all night, to keep from freezing to death. It's my idea of complete hell is you have your little children, and blessed Walmart didn't intervene in this, but they had to basically pretend to be shopping.
Wow. And that's how they managed to survive the night.
Yeah.
Which raises the question, I mean, since shelters are definitely set up with slots, it sounds like, where you'll take singles in some places and people with families in others, do you find in situations where there is space just not for the people who need the space?
Everything is filled,
uh-huh.
And there are no slots in Egan. We have a number of churches participating at any given time,
mm-hmm.
and so everyone gets shelter who shows up there, but they don't take families with children because they're not sorting for people with, pedophile backgrounds or any other kind mm-hmm. of background, nor do we care if someone's on drugs as long as they behave decently. We just don't want them to freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
Families is tighter. Most of the people in the single shelters are chronically homeless for a lot of reasons. Most of the families are situationally homeless, and so they had a place to live, and then something went wrong, and they didn't have the resources to get back in housing quickly enough, and they're on the streets, basically.
We're talking about sheltering homeless people, particularly on these cold nights. William Wise is the director of the First Place Family Center in Eugene for the Society St. Vincent de Paul. Heidi Parker is a volunteer shelter coordinator in Ashland. Sharon Harris, one of the volunteers. You can join the discussion on the exchange and share stories perhaps from services in your town. 800-838-3760 to get in by phone. Tell your story by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Heidi, since you're dealing with it's volunteers only, and you're a volunteer yourself as well, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Is there a move, I understand, toward getting paid staff for the city of Ashland?
There's a move to find a volunteer coordinator to pay that coordinator to take over the emergency shelter
mm-hmm.
coordination.
Just the emergency part, not
emergency,
the regular. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's greatly needed. I just wanted to say that it's really fascinating when you spend the night in a shelter to begin to talk to individuals that are homeless there and how they got there. One night I was at the shelter and there was a woman who at sign-in asked me to sign her name because she couldn't read the form, and she was a young adult. And after everyone was settling down, I went over and started talking to her, and I said, can you read and write? And she said, well, when I was a child, our family lost its home. We lived in our car, and we went from community to community, and I always loved school. But after a time of moving around so many times, I became embarrassed to go to school. And so I just gradually stopped going, and I don't really know how to read and write, and it's embarrassing to me. But then you think of, how is this woman ever going to get a job? How is she ever going to get herself out of homelessness?
So it's a second generation
of homelessness. We're beginning to see people who've lived their whole lives in Ashland. They consider Ashland their home, and they don't like to say, we're homeless, we're unhoused. This is our community, but we have no place to live. And the stories are amazing stories, and they change your view of the homeless. When you talk to an individual, they become a real human being, and you can no longer lump them together as, oh, these dregs on society.
No longer with a tag of the homeless.
And and you begin to look into their eyes and hear their stories, especially the homeless vets. And unfortunately, just this week, Sharon, we had a homeless vet.
Yeah, we had a gentleman who early 60s, and he showed up in the shelter on Tuesday night in a motorized wheelchair. He had an amputated foot and just, you know, doing a wonderful job taking care of himself, you know, getting all his belongings together, got himself, you know, and then in the morning was having, I guess he had trouble in the evening. He had an infection, and so we had to call the ambulance for him. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a, you know, 60-something-year-old in a wheelchair in this weather, you know, an amputee, and, you know, he's just doing the best he can, and we have nothing for him.
I was asking William about the staffing situation for Eugene for, I guess, the entire array of homeless services. How many people does it take to staff shelters and do background checks and all the things you need to do there?
Well, in terms of the Egan centers, it's almost all volunteers. We have one part-time person who covers that during the season, and the assistant director of St. Vincent's Paul, Charlie Harvey, does a lot to kind of hold things together and make it happen. He doesn't get much sleep during this time of year.
No.
And almost all the rest of our volunteers that go through training and are part of it. And a siege like this, it's going to be really hard for the volunteers when you have night after night after night, because folks also have jobs and a life, and they can start burning out. That starts to make it tighter. Regarding the Center for Families with Children in the very safe communities that we've had for 27 years, there's one staff person that oversees that, and she's also the case manager working with all the families that are in that program. For the Dusk to Dawn for families, that's a little problem. It's just one person a night that oversees that small shelter for families. So the staffing is really pretty minimal. We're thankful for the huge number of volunteers that make these things possible.
And in fact, I was going to say that it seems like in a community the size of Ashland, which is what, like maybe a fifth the size, less than that, maybe much smaller than Eugene. Let's put it that way. Heidi Parker, how are you trying to bring in volunteers all the time?
Yes, I have a database of volunteers that's almost 200 people. So a lot of people will volunteer and say, I'd like to help out, but I don't want to spend the night at the shelter. So, and people are constantly coming and going. A lot of our population of volunteers are older, and so they like to travel a lot, and they get sick. So we need a large base of volunteers, and it changes from year to year. But I send out lots of emails in the beginning of the shelter season, which for us is mid-November to mid-April.
Heidi had mentioned earlier you had 12 to 15 people seeking out the winter shelters in previous years. You have 35 or 50 now. Has there been growth as well, William, in the search for shelter in Eugene over the years?
Definitely. Like the numbers show, there's, I mean, the Eugene Service Station, which is St. Vinny's shelter, day shelter for families without children, coming and going and getting day services, they're looking at 4,000 or 5,000 different individuals passing through in the year. The numbers are really quite large. Some folks, we're in I-5 corridor, so some folks do go south in the winter and work their way back up in the spring and summer, some of the transient population.
I've visited Eugene and St. Vincent's. They have an amazing partnership with the city, so the city actually sends funds their way to provide a lot of services that they provide, and they have an amazing array of options. They have car camping programs, family shelters mm-hmm. that we don't have. They have a small house village that just incredible options.
Yeah, all kinds of services available for homeless people in Eugene. Let's get a sense before we go, William Wise, of if people want to help, if they are feeling like, well, I could do something, I just don't know what that is, how would you direct them?
Well, you know, the most direct thing would be to go on to the website for the Egan Warming Center and volunteer, put in some time, because that's a hard thing to do, but that's just a few days a year. Hopefully it's not going to be too much more this season. There's always a need for sleeping bags. If you have used sleeping bags, bringing those to St. Denny's, and they'll all be used to give away. Warm coats, just the obvious things, blankets, they all have a great need for those things to take care of the folks. There's such large numbers.
Okay, and Heidi Parker, people want to help in the Ashland area. How can they help?
We need more volunteers that are able to spend the night. If you go to Options for Homeless Residents of Ashland, ORA, it's at homelessoptions.org, and click on Winter Shelter. There's a link there to me and to other volunteers that manage the shelters. We can also use sleeping pads, sleeping bags, lightweight blankets, because we have to do a lot of laundry. Mm-hmm. We need some cash donations. We have no source of income. This is a total volunteer mm-hmm. organization. The stress that's put on the facilities is huge. So Presbyterian Hall has had a number of sewer issues that are costly to repair.
Okay, so homelessoptions.org to be able to help out folks right. For the Shelter Network in Ashland. Heidi Parker is the Volunteer Shelter Coordinator in Ashland. Sharon Harris, a volunteer on Tuesday nights at the shelters. Thank you both for joining us here in the studio. And William Wise is the Director of First Place Family Center in Eugene. Thank you for joining us on The Exchange by phone.
Appreciate you getting the word out.
Okay, back of the hour, here's Garrison Keillor.